This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, so this week's parsha is a double parsha, Achrimos and Kadoshim, and I'd like to share with you three ideas. The first is from Parshas Achrimos, the first of the parshas. If you're listening online, please email me, and I'll gladly send you the handout, j.golker@gmail.com. The pasuk says, Vaidabe Hashem el Moshe Achrimos Shnei Bnei Aaron. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe after the death in two parshas ago in Parshas Shmini of Nadav and Aviyu, the sons of Aaron HaKohen. He says, "Daber al Aaron achicha va'al yavoi b'choleis al hakodesh." Don't go into the kodesh and the kodesh kadoshim b'choleis whenever you want. B'zois yavoi Aaron al hakodesh. B'zois, which Rashi explains is a reference to Yom Kippur. Then you can go in. Rashi also brings b'zois is a gematria of 410. The 410 years that the first Beis HaMikdash stood for, and the 410 years that a Kohen Gadol would enter, Aaron and his descendants after him. Now, the Medrash, the Yalkut Shemoni, says that Bezois means that the Kohen Gadol and Aaron would go in with a certain Zuchus. Bezois Yavei Aaron El HaKodesh. What was that Zuchus? What was that Bezois? So the Medrash lists several things, and one of them is Mila. Says the Medrash, Bezois Yavei Aaron Bezuchus Hamila, as it says, Zois Brisi Asher Tishmeru. Bezois is a reference to Mila, Zois Brisi. So two questions, and I saw this in the writings of Rabbi Pinchas Roberts. He says two very interesting questions and a very beautiful approach. Question number one is, of course, why Mila? Of all the mitzvahs that a person, that the Kohen Gadol could go into the Kodesh Kadoshim with on Yom Kippur, why Dafka Mila? And the second question is, why the juxtaposition with the death of the sons of Aaron HaKohen? Pasuk says, Achri Mois Shnei Bnei Aaron, after the death of the sons of Aaron, then, Dabe Al Aaron, Achicha Val Yoveh B'choreis LaKodesh B'zos Yoveh Aaron. What's the connection? So Rabbi Roberts suggested the following idea. Avraham Avinu spent the first part of his life searching for the Ribbono Shel Olam. He lived in a godless world. He was 20 generations after the creation of the world, after Briyas HaOlam. And when he appeared on the scene, the world had already forgotten HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he thought and searched. He realized that it's impossible to have a building without a builder, a world without a creator. And he discovered, as it were, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, well done. Ve'yei tomim. You now have to be perfect. How do you achieve that perfection? Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ve'yei tomim have bris mila. Says Rabbi Roberts that the probing and the searching over many decades by Avraham Avinu that led him to the stage of Ve'yei tomim imbued almost genetically in the very lifeblood of Klal Yisrael, emunah pshuta, that we don't have to spend our lives searching and probing and contemplating, but rather we have an emunah pshuta, we recognize and we believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, when a child enters the Bris Avraham, the Bris of Avraham Avinu at 8 days old, he sort of symbolizes, he latches on to that emunah, to the ranks of those who have full faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And indeed at a Bris, and benching, we have the words, we say Noida L'Shimcha B'Teich Emunai. We give thanks to your name, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'Teich Emunai, amongst those who have now been imbued with their Munah, that we can now have full faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When Aaron HaKohen suffered the loss of his two sons, it was a tremendous attack, if you like, on his Emunah. And his response, as we discussed in previous years in Parsha Shmini, when we discussed Vayidom Aaron, that the Torah says his acceptance of the divine decree was exemplary. And that's manifested by the actual description of Vayidom Aaron. The Chofetz Chaim famously says that why does it describe Vayidom Aaron? He was silent. There could have been many other words to use, Vayecherash or Vayishkait. Why Vayidom? Says the Chofetz Chaim, we once said it in the Parsha a few years ago, that Vayidoim is connected to the word doime. Doime means an inanimate object. In the same way that an inanimate object is expressionless, it's a table, it's a chair. Well, so too Aaron HaKohen so accepted the gezeira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you didn't even see pain on his face, that he accepted it. This is the gezeira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayidoim Aaron. And by the way, don't think that this is the superhuman efforts only of Aaron HaKohen. I'll share with you something amazing. Maybe you remember that some years ago, I forget exactly how long, 15, 20 years ago or so, there was a young chayal called Nachshon Waxman. He was in the army uniform and he was hitchhiking, he was tramping, and he was at a bus stop in Yerushalayim, on the outskirts of Yerushalayim, and a car came past with frum-looking Jews inside, Yiddish music playing, a sefer on the dashboard, and two in the front and two in the back. The car pulled up, one of the people in the back got out, and Nachshon Waxman accepted the ride. He got into the car, and then the other person got back in, and he was squashed in. He realized that these were not from Yidden, but rather they were Hamas terrorists who had kidnapped him. And they took him to a safe house. It took place on a Thursday, and it was only about 10 minutes away, the safe house. They gave the ultimatum that unless they release hundreds of terrorists, they would kill Nachshon Waxman by 8 o'clock on Friday night. This was a Thursday afternoon. The word got out very quickly. 50,000 Yidden descended to the Kotel that Thursday evening. And they davened and they pleaded that he should have a safe return. Can you imagine? Can you imagine Nebuch, the parents of Nachshon Waxman, going into Shabbos, not knowing the fate of their son? It's too painful to even contemplate. And although he was tracked down and a rescue mission was attempted, it was not successful. And unfortunately, Nachshon Waxman lost his life. It was all booby-trapped, the room. And I think it was the commander of that unit also lost his life. And the Leviah was held on Sunday morning. And the father of Nachshon Waxman, one can imagine a broken man, went to the Rosh Hashiva of the yeshiva that Nachshon Waxman was in. And he said to him, he goes, look, I'm not a public speaker. I'm not speaking of the Leviah, but you're speaking. But I'm going to ask you a favor. I want you to convey a message to Klal Yisrael in my name, on my behalf. What's the message? With pleasure. He said, the message is this. He said, I'm certain that Klal Yisrael, everyone was talking about it, the whole world, the whole Jewish world, you know, was so hit by this terrible loss. He said, I'm sure that many, their emunah is a little bit shaken. How could it be they're wondering that 50,000 Yidden davened at the coastal on a Thursday night and nothing happens? Maybe tefillah doesn't work. Maybe they question the existence of Rabbeinu Shlomo. I want you to tell them from me, said the father of Nachshon Waxman, just before the Leviah, that tefillah does work and there is a Rabbeinu Shlomo, but sometimes the answer is no. Can you imagine the strength of character that is needed to convey that message at such a difficult time? That is Vayidoim Aaron. That ultimately is born by the emunah pshuta that was inculcated in each and every one of us when Avraham Avinu was told that Yei Tomim, and he undertook the Bris Milah after his journey of probing and searching for the truth. Therefore, we can now explain, says Rabbi Roberts, the answer to our two questions. What does it mean, Bizchus Milah? Why and what's the connection with Achri Mos Shnei Bnei Aaron? When Aaron HaKohen demonstrated Vayidoim Aaron, he demonstrated that superhuman level of emunah, of total acceptance that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. When Aaron HaKohen's two sons died, he demonstrated that acceptance of emunah, and he could then walk in to the Kodesh Kedoshim, bolstered by those feelings of emunah, wearing the insignia of Milah on himself, and born out of the Ve'ye Tomim of Avraham Avinu. And that is the zuchus, that he goes into the Kodesh Kedoshim on Yom Kippur and he achieves kapara not just for himself and his family, but for the whole of Klal Yisrael. That is therefore the connection. Achri Mos Shnei Bnei Aaron, when Aaron HaKohen demonstrates that he lives the emunah that was imbued within him all the way back to the time of, from the time of Avraham Avinu, then b'zayis yaveh Aaron al kodesh, and that's why the Medrash says it's the zuchus of Mina, because Mina represents the emunah that we all have, that we were given to us in our very genetic code, ultimately given to us by Avraham Avinu when he demonstrated v'yetomim, he fulfilled v'yetomim by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, let's press on. The next idea is from the second of the two parashas, from Parashas Kedoshim, and that is a very interesting maharal. The pasuk says in Parashas Kedoshim, it's Perek Yudches, Pasuk Chafalef, there's a typo there in the Marmokim. The pasuk says, "Mizaracho lo sitein lahavir lamolech." I apologize, this is also Parshas Achrinus. The Issa of Molech, what is Molech? So Rashi says, it sounds barbaric and pagan to us, and it is. Rashi says, what is Molech? Avodah Zarah, it's a form of idol worship. Sheshma Molech, v'zuhi avodaso. This is how you worship Molech. Shemaisa b'nei lakmar, you hand over your person's child, a son or a daughter, to the priests of Molech, and you have two big bonfires, and you pass the son or the daughter, Beraglov on foot, the Ramban and the Aruch say that the child is actually burnt to death. Rashi in Sanhedrin says that the child just passes through, but is not burnt to death. Either way, that is the Avodah Zorah of Molech. Now, the pasuk says umizaracho, says the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that if you look at the Maharal, he quotes this in the first line in Sanhedrin in Perek Dalad Mises Samach Dalad on the base. It says hamavir zara lemolech hamavir miktsas zara chayev. But if a person has several children and you pass through some of them, one or some of them, then you're chayev for molech. But kol zara, if you pass through all your children, then you're potter. Which, of course, is very hard to understand. If the prohibition is passing your child through these two pillars of fire, or according to the Ramban and the Aruch, actually burning them, what difference does it make if it's some of your children, all of your children? So says the Maharal, how could it be, anyway, logically, that you're chayev, and it's more strict if you pass through some of your sons, you give some of your sons to Molech, your children, and more strict than if you give all of them? Doesn't make sense. Says the Maharal, if you look at the third paragraph there, this is in Ber HaGoyle Ber Sheni. V'hadova hazeh gam kein dover bor. He says, aside from the fact that it's a gzeres hakosu, because the Torah says mizarcho, but I'll give you a very important rationale. By the way, the Ber HaGoyle by the Maharal, he goes through many, many examples of difficult chazal that seem to be counterintuitive. And he defends Chazal. The Maharal was the great defender of Chazal. And he defends Chazal, and this is the rationale he gives over here. V'hadova hazehu gam kein dover boro. Ki hadover shehu nitein me'elikus hu miktsas dover. He says that is how giving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or any spiritual giving, always involves miktsas and not kol. V'dover zinir mikama mitzvahs. You've got many examples of this. Truma, umaisa, v'chala. When you take challah, you mix your flour and your water, you've got a dough, you take some of it and you give it kedusha. You take truma, you take your 2% and you give it to the kohen. You give your mice, you take some, you take 10% and that's given to the levi. Continues the Maharal, she'im nosin hakol, ein a truma, ve'ein a maisa, ve'ein a challah. Because if you give the entire amount over, then it's not challah, it's not truma, it's not maisa, it's nothing. Kedusha always is when you take some and not all. And then he continues, and that's why, by the way, for Molech, that's why it's you're mirroring this concept, and therefore it's only some and not all your children. It continues the Maharal in the bottom paragraph, I'll give you another illustration. There are 12 tribes, but yet Shevet Levi is elevated. Again, it's always miktsas and not all. Now, I haven't got it on the sheet, but I want to tell you a very interesting Hosafa. And I heard this from Rabbi Hartman, I clarified it with him this morning. A fabulous idea. Rav Hutner would say that whenever you have a separation or an elevation with a dover ruchni, with a dover shebikdusha, the word haroma is used. But whenever you have a physical lifting or separation, it would be hagbah, you lift it up. Haroma for something ruchni, and hagbah for something gashmi. And therefore, the hagbah fits very well with this maral, because haroma, you take some and not all. Hagbah, you take the whole thing. For example, when you do a kinyan hagbah, if I want to be koina a talus, so if I take up just part of the talus, that's not a kinyan. I've got to lift the whole thing. Otherwise, it's not a kinyan hagbah. So you see, haroma for a dover ruchni is separating some. Hagbah, which is for a dover gashmi, I'm taking the whole thing. And hence, the kinyan hagbah has got to be on the whole thing. Now, there's one kasha on Rav Huna. The kasha, this is not a kasha on the maral, it's a kasha on Rav Huna, this classification of haroma hagbah. Says Rav Huna, if hagbah is for a physical gashmi type of thing, then why is it that when we finish laming and we lift up the Sefer Torah, we don't call it haroma, we call it hagbah? Why? Is it davish abigdusha? So the answer is A, because haroma means separating some and not all, and you're lifting up the whole Sefer Torah. So that's number one. But number two, the hagbah is, it's a physical act. You're doing a physical act on a chefsa shel mitzvah, on the Dovah Shebikdusha, on a Sefer Torah. So therefore, it is indeed a physical act, and hagbah is the appropriate terminology. A, because you're lifting the entire thing, it's not miktas. And second of all, you're doing a physical act, a Dovah Gashmi, on a chefsa shel kedusha. So it fits in very interestingly and nicely to Rav Huna's theme. But either way, that's the maral on this strange mitzvah, the strange aveira, the avodah zarah of molech. Okay, now let's conclude with one final idea, a very interesting idea, and this is in Parshas Kedoshim, and the famous pasuk of Ahavta l'recha kamecha. And this I saw in the writings of Rav Chaim Kaufman and Mishcha Shemen, a very, very interesting insight. The pasuk says, lo sikaim v'lo sitar, don't take revenge, don't bear a grudge. Now the Ramban says two questions on behalf of Recha Kamucha. Number one, says the Ramban, how on earth is it possible? How can anybody reach the level that they love somebody else as much as they love themselves? And the Ramban says, it's not possible. It's not possible. You cannot love another person like you love yourself. And so a person's self-love is greater than the love that he has for anybody else. Says the Ramban, haflaga, and therefore, v'ahavta recha kamecha is some sort of exaggeration. It's not possible for him to love somebody else like he loved himself. And he asks the second kasha. Surely Rabbi Akiva has already come, and he has taught us that your life comes first. And he's referring now to a Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Samach Beis Amud Aleph. What's the Gemara there? The Gemara says, famous case. Two people are traveling in the desert. The sun is beating down and they're both dehydrated. They've got one flask. One of them owns a flask of water. If one of them drinks that flask of water, that person will survive. If they share the flask of water, they will both die. What to do? So Ben Patura says that both of them should drink. They should share the drink, rather than one person drinks and lives at the expense of the other person. But Rabbi Akiva argues, and Rabbi Akiva says, no, one person should drink and save his life, because chayecho koidmin. If I own the flask of water, I drink it, and so be it. Chayecho koidmin. So says the Ramban, if Rabbi Akiva has taught us chayecho koidmin, how does that tally with v'ahavta l'recha kamecha? If v'ahavta l'recha kamecha was true in its very literal sense, then surely I would have to share it with him. I couldn't just take it for myself. Chayecho Kodman tells me that I do come first. So how does that square? So says the Ramban, Elamai, it's a haflogger. What does haflogger mean? It's an exaggeration. And the interpretation of Rahavta Recha Kamocha is that Kamocha, in the same way that you want goodness in everything that you do, well, so too, a person should look out for another person and try and benefit him in all regards of life, in everything that is good for the other person. Just like you want people to be kind to you and nice to you, so too, look out for the other person in all areas of life. Ad kan the Ramban. Now, there's a famous Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos, Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph. Let's take a look. It's in paragraph 3b. It says the Gemara in Shabbos, Shuv Maisa B'Nochri Echot. There was a famous case with a certain Nochri, Shebolif Ne Shammai. He came in front of Shammai. Omeloi Gaireini Almanas Shetlamdeini Kolatera Kula, Kashani Oimed Al Regalachas. Teach me the entire, convert me, and teach me the entire Torah whilst I'm standing on one leg. Beishamai wasn't interested. He dismissed him. Bolifni Hillel, this Nochri came in front of Hillel. Gaire and Hillel converted him. Oh, Malay, and you want to know the whole Torah whilst you're standing on one leg? No problem. The Aloch Sani Lechavruch Lisavid. What is hateful for you, don't do to your friend. Zui Kola Torah Kula, the Idzach Perusha. That's the entire Torah. The rest is just a commentary, Zil Gemara, famous Gemara. Ask the Marshal, not many commentators are troubled by this. No doubt, Hillel is paraphrasing V'haftar Recha Kamochin Ar Gemara. But he doesn't quite paraphrase it. He phrases it firstly in the Aramaic, and second of all, he phrases it in the negative. Says the Marshal, V'yesh la'ayim, first line there, middle of the line, V'yesh la'ayim b'zeh. The fact that they said it in Targum is not a problem, because that was the vernacular, that was the common language in Yerushalayim. Why did he express himself in the negative way? What is hateful for your friend, what is hateful for yourself, don't do to your friend. The Targum Melishna Dekra, because if he was using the Targum of V'ahavta L'recha Kamecha, Havale Lamema, he should have said, V'terach me lechavroch kavosich. Whatever is pleasurable, is good for you, then do for your friend. Targum Unklus, like the Targum Unklus, does indeed translate it. So the Marsha is troubled by why Hillel translated or responded to this ger by paraphrasing V'after Echa Kamocha in the negative, not in the positive. Fine. Now, Reb Chaim Kaufman quotes a sefer called the Likutei Yehuda, who gives an answer in the name of the Imre Emes. The Imre Emes was the third Ger Rebbe, the son of the Sfas Emes, and he gives the following answer. He says the reason why Hillel responded in this way is because it is forbidden to teach a non-Jewish person Torah. You're not allowed to teach a non-Jewish person Torah. Fine. Why? Presumably, because Limud HaTorah is a special covenant between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chaim Shmulevitz used to say that when we daven, when we're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and when we learn Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking to us. It's a special bond, a special covenant between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and perhaps a corollary of that is that it's forbidden to teach a non-Jewish person Torah. However, there is an interesting machlokes between Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the Marsha regarding teaching Torah to a ger habo liskayeh. What about a convert who wants to learn Torah? Are you allowed to teach him Torah? Says the Marshal, no problem. This is a Nochri, a non-Jewish person, who wants to join the ranks of Klal Yisrael. You're allowed to teach him Torah. Now, if that's the case, then this answer of the Imre Emes doesn't work for the Marshal. Because the Imre Emes is answering the reason why Hillel responded and he changed the nusach of the pasuk, because I can't teach a nochri Torah. So he changed the pasuk to the negative to avoid that problem. But according to the Marshal, we're talking about a ger haboliskaya. This is what the Gemara is talking about. And according to the Marshal, it's in order, it's permitted to teach a ger haboliskaya Torah. So therefore, the Marshal is going to have to come on to a different answer. So the Marshal indeed gives a different answer. And this answer echoes the answer given by the Ramban that I mentioned above. Take a look at the Marsha, the bottom box. Follows the pasuk, the first half of the pasuk of lo sikum lo sitter. Don't take revenge. Don't bear a grudge. Says the Marsha, Allah koi v'after recha kamocha. It's going on the beginning of the pasuk. Shelo sa selo ro'o mikol desanilach. Don't do anything bad. Don't take revenge. Don't bear a grudge to another person. Avil gabi lasos lo tova lo ka'oma v'ahavta recha kamocha, k'domrin chayecha kodmin. But doing good things, positive things, that's not what v'ahavta recha kamocha is referring to. V'ahavta recha kamocha, says the Marashah, is avoiding upsetting your friends. In the same way that you shouldn't take revenge and shouldn't bear a grudge, so too, just like you wouldn't like to be the recipient of that, well, so too, v'ahavta recha kamocha. But it's not saying positively, this is what you have to do, because that's just not true. Why? As the Marashah says, because chayecha kaidmin, if there's one flask of water, you have priority, not the other person. And therefore, the Marashah explains that that's indeed what Hillel responded to this person, because that indeed is the correct interpretation of after Rechel Kamocha. And he just sort of paraphrased it in that way. And therefore, Marashah is sort of, in a way, quite in line with the understanding of the Ramban of the Pasuk of after Rechel Kamocha. So let us just summarize the three ideas that we've shared this evening. The first is very beautiful idea of Emunah, by Rabbi Pinchas Roberts. The two questions he asked, that when the Pasuk tells us, Bezois Yavai Aaron al HaKodesh, it's with this zechus, says the Medrash of Mila. Why Mila? Second of all, what's the juxtaposition of the death of the sons of Aaron? Achri Moish Shnei Bnei Aaron, then you go into the Midrash, Bezois Yavai. Says Rabbi Roberts, that beautiful idea, that Avram Avinu searched his whole life for HaKodesh Baruch Hu, and when he found him, he imbued within each and every one of us Emunah Pshuta. And that was displayed by Aaron HaKohen by his response of with the death of his two sons. And it's with that Zuchus of Emunah, which ultimately sourced back to Avraham Avinu's Bris Mila, which demonstrated he had achieved that tremendous level, and that imbued it genetically almost into each and every one of us. It's that Zuchus, it's that Bezois, the Zuchus of Mila, the Zuchus of Emunah, that Aaron HaKohen would go into the Kodesh Kodoshim on Yom Kippur. The second idea was that of the Maharal, explaining this very bizarre practice of Moilech, of being Mavir, Zarachol and Moilech. And the Maharal explains the difficult Gemara Sanhedrin. The Pasuk says, Mizarachol, which the Gemara understands to mean, it's only a chiyuv, it's only prohibited if one or some of your children handed over to the priests of Avodah Zarah. But if all of them go, then it's not Asur, says the Maharal, because that's the way of Kedusha works. Kedusha is, it's always part and not all. You take away some to Truma, some to Maisa, some to Chala. If you give it all, that's not a Maisa Hafrasha. That's not giving Kedusha. And that fits in very interestingly with that rule of Rav Hutna. Hagbah is for something Gashmi, Haroma is for something which is Ruchni. Because Haroma is separating part and not all. Hagbah, by definition, is lifting the whole thing up. For example, Kinin Hagbah. The kasha we said, what about on the kasha of Funa was, what about Hagba? Surely that should be called Haroma? No, because it's a physical act on a chefsa shel mitzvah, and it's also not separating parts, as we said. And finally, this very interesting piece in Rav Chaim Kaufman, V'ahavta l'recha kamocha, the famous kasha, where the Ramban asks two problems. Number one, it's not possible. How can you love somebody else as much as you love yourself? And second of all, chayecha kaidmin, surely that tells you that you do come first. So the Ramban says, it just is a general rule that you should try and help your friend in every aspect of his life in the same way that you'd want your friend to do the same to you. And that is very similar to the way the Marashah resolves that problem, as I mentioned. That the Marashah asked the Kasha from the Gemara in Shabbos, the famous Gemara in Shabbos, Lamed Aleph, when the Ger comes to Hillel and says, teach me the whole Torah, Regel Achas, and he converts him and he just says to him, the paraphrasing of Aloch Sani Lechav Lochloi Savit, which is the negative of after the Rechel Kamocha. Why negative? Says the Marashah, because surely Chayecha Kaimin Hakim, what's going on? Why doesn't he just use the positive like the Targ Munkulus does? The Imri Emes answers, because you can't teach a non-Jewish person Torah, and you couldn't just use the regular example. But that answer doesn't work according to the Marashah. Because according to the Marashah, he says, this we're talking about Ger Shabbos guy, you are allowed to teach him Torah. So therefore, he gives a different answer. What's the answer? The answer is that his interpretation of after the Rechel Kamocha is very similar to that of the Ramban. That it's going on the back of lo sikum lo sita. Anything bad you don't want done to yourself, don't do to your friends. But positively helping him in that way, like, that's not true. That's chayecha koidmin. So a very interesting insight into this week's parasha. Thank you for joining, and I wish you all a very good chance. Kol tov.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.